I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm Jay Day.
I'm Jay Day and the Day Home Team of Real Estate Teams with our weekly real estate podcast. Jay, it's not gradual anymore. We go from winter to spring just like this. Last week, Snowmageddon hit our area. And here we are in spring. Baseball season's about a week away.
I know, it's crazy. The storm sort of caught all of us by surprise, I think. I mean, you know, the weather people predict snow all the time, and I sort of shrug it off. But I know I was a little shocked. I don't know about you.
This is the easy weather as far as I'm concerned, the Mid-Atlantic area. But a lot of people, once this hits, they think this is it. This is not going to happen to me again. I got to get out of here. I've been hearing about Jay. I'm going to call him, and I'm going to move to a warm weather climate.
We help people that all the time. I mean, we help a lot of people move out west or move down south.
And do they mention the weather in the Mid-Atlantic area as a reason?
They do. They do. They say they're tired of shoveling. And, I mean, it's funny because, you know, as we've helped people over the years sell their homes, you know, we end up becoming friends with them on Facebook, and we'll see their messages, and they'll send us little notes, or they'll post pictures of, you know, I know it's snowing back in Maryland, however, here's my view, and you'll see, like, the sun, the sand, their toes in the sand, or they'll repost things from, you know, 3 years ago when they still lived in Maryland with a massive snow, and they're like, glad I don't need a shovel anymore.
So we're coming into Easter, just about a week or so away, and it is officially spring on the calendar anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it outside.
It doesn't look
it
outside anyway. Is it a cliche, or is there a lot more inventory in the spring?
No, there is, and we're starting to see the inventory pick up. Things will continue to pick up, and then the inventory will increase, and then sales will increase, and then we normally see a slowdown once we get into around the 4th of July, up until right about when school starts.
Even with an increase in inventory, those much-valued homes under $500,000 in this area, they sell fast.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we you know, we have a coming soon marketing that we do for some people, and for all of our listings that they are all of our listings where they agree to it, and we get a lot of activity. A lot of people wanted to see those houses because they realize there's very little available out there. And like I said, as we get into the spring, we'll start to see a little bit more. But I mean, we've got clients right now, buyers that are looking for specific homes in specific areas, and there's just nothing out there. And actually, some of the buyers that we have lined up specifically, I've got one that's looking in Mount Airy in Carroll County. So if anyone's listening and you have a home in Carroll County in Mount Airy that has an in-law suite or detached garage, you know, over literally they're looking over 800,000. I've got a client that I've been trying to find something for in Mount Airy only, though, on the Carroll County side, because of the schools. It's a must spot for them, and there's just not much out there.
So we talk about these in the commercials all the time. If your home is under $500,000, even more than $500,000, you have buyers right now. That house could be sold before it even goes to market.
Oh, absolutely. We've got people lined up. And I said, you know, I've got buyers lined up that are looking for, you know, at least 3 acres in Frederick County where they can put a second building and a primary house, and they're looking up to $150,000. So we've got people looking for land. We've got people looking for houses. We've got people looking for condos, all types of things. So if you're thinking about selling, give us a ring. You know, we can have someone on our team work with you specifically on the listing, and then we can match you up with someone on our team. Well, not match you up, but we have buyers with other agents on our team that could bring people through to your homes. Or we can also make it fully available where anyone can show it as well. But we do have people lined up and ready to roll.
I can tell you, just from experience, from going to Kentucky, Western Pennsylvania, this is a lively real estate market. The real estate market is dead in a lot of parts of this country. It's really happening here in the Mid-Atlantic because the government not really is ever going to shut down.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, the market, you know, we were just in Vancouver and we were with a bunch of agents who we deal with. You know, some were from the Carolinas, some from Florida, some from Alaska, you know, all over. We actually had someone there who was from Kentucky as well, and just Louisville. Just hearing all of the different stories and what they're, you know, we all get together and sort of share what's happening in our markets. And it is interesting because, you know, our market is pretty dynamic. And, you know, same thing, we shock a lot of people that we have homes in this D.C. metro area that can range from, you know, when we do stuff out in Pennsylvania, you get a really nice home for $150,000, or you could be in Montgomery County and pay $850,000 for a townhouse.
That's why people are addicted to Willow and looking, I mean, that's why people are addicted to Zillow. They're looking at that real estate and they're dreaming. There's a reason these houses are just a lot more inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you. And you know, a lot of people will say, you know, avoid Zillow. And, you know, we like people to use our website. But I'll be candid with you. When we were in Vancouver, I had Zillow up and I was shocked. I mean, the prices out there were like $3 million, $1.8 million. It was insane.
Jay, I know it makes sense to go to your website and find out the reality of life. People are absolutely addicted to that website. And when they travel, my colleagues here, I go, okay, stay off of Zillow. And they go, no, we're not. We're going to be all over it. They just can't stay away from it.
Yeah, like I said, I have to admit, when we travel, we use it to see what's going on where we are. And like I said, Vancouver was a very interesting spot. And, you know, it's like New York City, but with beautiful water views all around it. And it's tons of high rises. But it was shocking to see how expensive real estate is in Vancouver.
In Canada, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea that it was that urban of a situation. You feel like you're in New York City.
Oh, it's all high rises. It was insane. And like I said, you know, I've never seen so many Ferraris and Porsches driving around either.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, everywhere. It was crazy. You know, totally different than what we see here. Yeah, every once in a while, you might see one. Or if you go down into D.C., you may see it a little more frequently. But, I mean, they were driving all over the roads, you know, what looked like custom Ferraris. Just crazy, insane with what's going on out there. I don't know what type of, what type of businesses they have running. But apparently ones that pay very well.
Well, when you were there, did you have to do the currency exchange?
We did.
Are they taking American cash there in Vancouver at all?
Some places did. We took care of using, you know, we used credit cards, and we also did a little bit of currency exchange for tips for people.
So credit cards, huh? So you're automatically taken care of, huh? And so they charge you. How's that work? I mean, like if you buy something in Canada, are you being charged the American value of that?
It's whatever the rate is for the dollar at that time. But
no
the
kidding.
One cool thing that I think that America could learn, to be very honest with you, and this was the neatest thing I've ever seen. Everywhere you went, if you used your credit card, they brought the machine to you. They never touched your card. You had to insert it into the machine. You had to hit all the buttons. You took the card out. Your card never left your possession. So talk about, you know, fraud and people stealing your information.
That's great advice.
Yeah. Every restaurant, every hotel, every store we went to, none of them would touch your credit card.
Wow. That's incredible. Man, I need to go to Canada sometime.
Yeah, I thought that was a neat thing that, you know, I love the United States and I love being here. But as I saw things, I'm like, now that is something that could benefit here because, you know, your cards get compromised all the time.
That's what people worry about. When you hand that card to your waiter, it's gone out of your hands for who knows what happens.
Yeah, and it's gone for sometimes, you know, you get it back 5-10 minutes later. You don't know if they snapped a picture of it or what happened.
And they find out bad things have happened with your credit card, and they find out it happened right here. Jay, I have a layman's question to ask you.
All right, I'm ready.
Layperson's question. You know, every week we have our pet of the week. We have our pet of the week from Frederick County Animal Control and Adoption. Whether it's true or not, the reason why a lot of these dogs and cats are left off, they say, well, because my landlord won't let it, our neighborhood watch won't let it. Do people ever buy and sell and bring up their pets for a reason to do this?
Oh, you know, it is a common thing. I mean, we don't work with we list homes for rent. We don't work with people looking for rentals. But there are a lot of restrictions. And we do have people on the buying side, because if you buy a condo, a lot of the condos have some regulations of you can only have a dog of such a weight. Like, you know, you're not going to have – I'm trying to think of what is a massive-sized dog, Tom?
A bull mastiff, big animal.
Yeah, you may not be able to have those in every condo because, you know, you've got people below you and, you know, you don't want it to sound like, you know, you have a horse in your family room.
Are they ever asking, look, I need a fence for my dog. I don't feel like building one. This doesn't look right. This is not going to be good enough. But does the animal mean that much in buying and selling?
Oh, yeah. For some people – I mean, a lot of people – you know, their animals are like one of their kids.
Oh, they are. They are a family. That is a rule right now. They are family members. I'm just wondering if it comes up in a real estate transaction.
It comes up all the time. All the time. And, you know, it's not an uncommon thing. And a lot of people, you're right. I mean, they might say, you know, I want a house that has a fence already because I need to have my dog be able to go out. And I may not be able to let the dog out, you know, on a leash and go walking around. Or, you know, you go to areas where people that are looking for specific neighborhoods, and like in Lake Linganore, they have a dog park. you know, they want to have all these amenities.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, or even, you know, our office is downtown right on the creek. You know, they have the little water fountains for the dogs and, you know, yeah, it is. I would say Frederick is definitely a very pet-friendly area where a lot of people do bring up those things. You know, and it's funny because some people are like, you know, do they have a fence? I definitely want to have a fence. And you're thinking, well, are you thinking that for the kid? And it's, no, I've got two dogs.
Sure. No, that's family members.
Yeah.
Do you ever go into a house that's for sale or is getting ready to go for up for sale? And you go, man, they had a lot of cats in this house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay. You can't hide that now.
Well, and it's funny because the pet thing can be a good and bad. Some people want the house that has, the ability to have animals with having a fence and everything. And then we have other clients that have allergies, and they're like, I need to find out, was there ever an animal in the house? Because if so, I need to rip out all of the flooring because of my severe allergies. So we have people that ask whether it's animal-friendly or also if there's been animals in the house before because of allergies.
I guess if you're going to have a couple of chickens or something, you should check the code of the neighborhood you're moving into because sometimes they don't allow something like that.
We have one that's coming soon right now. It's in Tawnytown. I'm not going to get too much info, but they actually have a chicken coop in their backyard.
Okay, bingo.
So
I like chickens.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're allowed to have them in the city limit.
This one in Tawnytown, it's in the city limits. I don't know what the deal is, but one of my agents told me they had a chicken coop in the yard.
Hey, we're excited about spring. Spring is here. Don't wait if you're going to buy, if you're going to sell. If you have any questions in all four states, call Jay and his team. No pressure. They will give you advice. And if they don't know it, they're not afraid to say so. They'll send you to a professional.
Exactly. You ready to talk about the house of the week?
Go ahead.
All right. House of the week. 206 Potomac Street in Boonesboro, Maryland. Beautiful older home. This home was built in 1896. It's been renovated, listed at $285,000. It's four bedrooms, 2.5 baths. Beautiful older home. Absolutely stunning. Go to WFRE.com, go to J-Day's Real Estate Podcast, click on House of the Week, and you'll be able to see all the beautiful photos of this great home.
I'm Tom Whalen.
I'm J-Day.
Of J-Day and the Day, home team of real estate teams with our weekly real estate podcast. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends all about it.